got my order. Make sure you got at least a space and one more in the back.
Okay. Our judges. First judge.
Othniel. And he hung out in Debir, down in Judah. Our next judge. He had a little cut up and from the tribe of Benjamin, but where do we put him at? Gilgal. Kind of that whole area there. Because he does the deed and then runs to Ephraim and say, hey, come on, guys, let's beat up this guy, these people. All right, our next judge. Shamgar, a one-verse judge, but he also gets a verse with Deborah and Barak, and I did it again. So who's our next judge? Deborah. All right, and they're from what two tribes? Ephraim and Naphtali, and all those kind of events, the big battle, the 900 chariots, is occurring in what valley? Jezreel Valley. Oops, I got ahead of myself. Okay. Get it! Wow, man, you're good. You're almost as good as my middle schooler. All right, and Gideon is also in this valley. And Oprah is the city, and that's in the Jezreel Valley. I threw that. So, all right, and then we forget Abimelech because he's not a real judge. So our next judge is Tola, and he is. Shamar, and then we have the guy that kind of the chair, and there he's up in Tamar, so that's kind of. And this map said like the chair Razar or whatever, which some maps have, you get it like even that fast. All right, and then we get a major judge next, Jephthah, and he's also up in what city or what area? Gilead. All right. So they just stuck him in Ramah because that has a Gilead to it. And then we get over to our minor judge. Ibsen. He's from the city where Ruth ends up. And a lot of action's going on tonight. Bethlehem. All right. Another minor judge. Iran. Yeah. Okay, Zebulun. Yep, I was putting up. And then our last one, because he's got the donkeys, so we remember him, right? All right, well, they have several down at their wealth. But who is this? Abdon. And last, and maybe least. Samson. All right. And he's active in what valley? Zorak Valley. So, all right. Y'all are just think. When we started this, y'all can, you know, y'all are doing good.
I got a memory of a 5-year-old.
Well, if you go back to my middle schoolers being awesome, then it's a steel trap, Ken. All right. Okay. Three parts of the books of Judges. First part. Conditions. Oops, so I went backwards. There we are. Conditions. And we covered that in all one lesson. Real nice and fun for y'all. And then we spent most of our time in the next section, the judges, and where we've been tonight and last Sunday. Cultural. And that is really the word, isn't it? Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I just was thinking, I said, man, you know, and again, I mean, it is constructed, because we already said these events occurred before the judges that we study, but it really just drives it home, doesn't it? That you've been looking kind of these individuals, these whole little sets, it's the whole nation, the Gibeah, so, I mean, it's just on so many different levels, it's just hitting you. And so that when you get to that last verse, right, and it just says every man did what was right in his own eyes, you can say, that's for sure. And it got them in the mess. And they just thought, we don't have a king. But we knew they had a king, right? And they knew they had a king, but they weren't willing to admit it. So I had Jehovah there. So, all right. And then our cycle, we start with sin. The Lord gets angry with them. Servitude.
just say, we can't take anymore, and so they make a supplication to the Lord, and the Lord provides a
salvation,
a savior. I was thinking savior, so you were reading my mind there. And salvation is the word we had there. But we really know, rather than calling it the book of Judges, we should call it the book of
Deliverers.
All right, see? I've got this.
Yeah,
we just go, no, you still need to quit. You know, you want that positive reinforcement. You're going to feel so awesome and so great when you just go through that test and you're just ripping to it and say, I know this, I know this, I know this.
I think I'm scared to be sick.
Okay. All right. Well, we still have a lot of material to cover, so you realize at a certain point I'm going to say you have to stop. So be here, show up early, okay? All right, so we're in that last section. We've gone through our judges. I really should put something up on Eli and Samuel, but I don't. But who knows, I might draw this out if I ever teach the Samuels class again. All right, so here's kind of our timeline. We're in the kind of seventh period, the judges, and we kind of went through, and we had some more questions about it, and y'all kind of went through that exercise looking. But it occurs sometime in this period, and actually, I think it might have been, I think I would shove it back a little bit more, but kind of the timeline we've been generally going with, put her there, and so it goes as late as that. But just kind of keeping that is kind of beforehand. So, our objectives for tonight, see if we can accomplish these, is to get in order. That Benjamite thing, because that one, boy, I don't know if I even asked y'all that one on the first one. But getting all of that affairs in order, naming the important characters, who's that? Who do we associate with Gibeah, besides the crimes at Gibeah? Another famous Benjamite. Some call him the first king, because he was Saul. Yeah, sorry. So, hey, you know, I know I'm going to have a hard time getting the last slide, so, you know, we kick off these objectives as best we can. James, a few lessons ago, tried to steal the thunder for this whole class by bringing up Romans. So, we finally, you know, the 12th class, we finally get to your point there, James. So, and again, it was all there before. And then we just looked there at that last verse, and just kind of try to seal the class with that, because the author did. Okay. Why don't we go forward? There we are. Done. Okay. Well. That wasn't good. How did that happen? See? We skipped all that. Well, that was the shortest class ever there. Okay, so I think some of the comments has even gone that really when you look at what's going on here and all the different things, and even you know, the vow. We've had this whole discussion about Jephthah and his vow, and here vow to the Lord. And then they spend, I mean, well, how do we get out of this? How do we get around this vow? I mean, just all those instances, all of that that's going on, just hammers on. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And so, kind of getting you ready for a little bit for the review, because, I mean, we are at the end. So does that mean that when we read Judges and the people say, hey, we want a king, we want to be like the other nations to lead us, that the whole book of Judges is about saying, yes, we need a king? Is that what the verse is saying?
I'm not sure if you put a capital K on it, that would be an untrue statement.
No.
Because
yeah.
They did not follow God.
No, they didn't. And that was the thing. They just were not able to accept to totally grasp or have that kind of faith of that capital. Now, when they obeyed God, there was rest in the land. When they made supplication, the Lord raised up those saviors, that deliverer. But in their mind, they could do anything they wanted. That anything and everything that they did in their own eyes was right. And just going through how, oh yeah, okay, Jabesh Gilead didn't show up. Let's kill everybody in the city, and any virgins, we'll let them marry the Benjamites. We only got 400. Okay, where else can we get some 200 women? Oh, again, just this whole logic, you know, we made this vow, so none of our daughters are going to them. But yeah, let's kill these people, let's do this. And Mike makes right? Because that was the whole thing with Micah and the Danite, right? And they say, hey, any of those, you know, dads and families get upset about those Shiloh women, we'll just say, hey, you're alive. Count your blessings. And again, so the author caps us with this story, and it just drives home that whole message that he's been giving. So, I went ahead, we'll hit kind of at least some of it, because I know we had some discussion, okay, concubine, whatever. So it's a secondary wife, it's not a full wife, it's a secondary wife. Goes back to patriarchal periods. I mean, Abraham had a concubine, and there's, I mean, of course, David, Solomon had too many. So, you know, it's sort of not a slave, but not a full wife. And so really does fall at least in that category, though, of if you're looking at what is in Exodus is what in Deuteronomy, you pretty much can at least go to the description on female captives and pretty much just saying, hey, you don't want her anymore, you let her go. You don't sell her again. That if you're not pleased with her, you let her go. So, not, again, the best situation. And again, you know, she ends up dying in this story. So now, the Levite. I mean, we really know, we have no love for this guy, right? I mean, his whole, he blows it. And just, I mean, you know, sending her out there. And then, you know, he gets ready to get on his donkey. And he says, come on, get up. And that, I mean, that just... And that is, you know, the Bible's very good. They can get you a verse that pretty well just sets the guy and what he is. So, as we kind of talked about, the Levites don't come out too good here either, do they? And, you know, if we go back and read, though, I mean, you know, he went to Bethlehem to get her and talk kindly to her. But, you know, sometimes men that are rough, abuse women, you know, they feel very sorry, and then, you know, they're all repentant, but the events still happen. So.
You know, you said that those men that normally come to be abusers, they usually feel that it was because of your behavior that made me treat you like I did. So I'll start, just don't do that again, and I won't respond in that way. So you can see just very selfish, all of it. Selfish motivated. There was not really anything about her, which you can clearly see.
Yeah.
It was like just really selfish.
Yeah.
The other thing I just want to point out, that how, whether it was the Levite or anyone else, there were certain laws or things about Jehovah that they would stand really firm on, hey, we got to follow this. But the other things they got around, like the whole idea of the whole idea about making an oath and keeping that. Oh, you know, the God's word says, you know, you make an oath, you got to keep it. But then, you know, we'll figure a way to get around it. So certain things, they were strong, you know, they would see, oh, this is God's, the way he feels about this, we stand strong. But at the same time, they're trying to circumvent and do whatever they want. So they're just picking and choosing what they want to do.
And doing whatever they want to do. Yeah.
So is that picking and choosing? Part of that is that, okay, so you can abuse women, but you can't, you know, population for a man.
Yeah,
I read a commentary that they kind of said that was like that was bad, but you know, but especially a concubine, it wasn't that bad. But the sodomy and not being hospitable, that was the worst thing that to do. So the lesser of the two things. So yeah, just but you know, once you start reasoning like that, what is God's word anyway?
Yeah. Oh, and again, that is just the point is being driven hard to us tonight, but it's been coming the whole book.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's that message. And, you know, it's no better with the Kings. It gets worse.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, you know, when the people said, give us a king, it wasn't so we can be more righteous. You know, that wasn't what they said. It's so we can be like those nations around about us. And, you know, we get just a feel for even, you know, it's like Eli, you know, bad father, but at least he himself seemed to be trying to do what the Lord said, but his sons wasn't. And again, is that whole not following?
Well, we have that in the New Testament, too. Not taking care of your mother and father.
Yeah.
You see that in the religious world.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
preach
yeah.
Everything.
I mean, I've got the invitation tonight, so of course the invitation is going to deal with judges. But, you know, I think, and I more important to kind of get the lesson here, so, but I could have probably kind of written out an opening and stuff describing the days of judges, but described in such a way as today.
Mm-hmm.
Easily could. So, you know, we think the judges are the Wild West. Well, we're living not only, I mean, we're there. The Wild West of, again, human opinions, whatever you want to do right. But anyway. Yeah. So, now, one commentary kind of made note of that remote. So he was sojourning in the remote parts of the hill country of Ephraim. So anyone that good old Tennessee boy knows he's saying that he was a hillbilly. But that's beside the point. In that remote area. And so it's coming from us from Bethlehem. And again, it's kind of interesting. We'll try, I know all the stuff I want to cover Sunday. I just don't know if I'll get it put together. But we spent a lot of time in the hill country of Ephraim, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, were you surprised how many times we kept coming back to Bethlehem?
Mm-hmm.
And you think, oh, I don't get to Bethlehem until I get to David, or at least Ruth. And we've been hitting that. And it is about 50 miles if you're doing a back of the napkin calculation and a little bit squinting of the eyes. So it was about a 50 mile journey, at least that. So there's the hill country of Ephraim, which looks like hills. And then we kind of start, and you realize how much trouble we're in, right? Because he's come in to do the count, and we're on the first verse. Okay. One nice thing of electronics, you can get all the different versions there. But like, okay, ESV, she was unfaithful to him. Your New King James, a harlot. American Standard Version, most close to the translation that's in basic English, or American English, ASV. Young's literal translation, which is even another attempt, committed whoredom. So it's kind of interesting, you know, where does she fall there? So it kind of falls to that. And then the Septuagint used the term angry, so the Living Bible went with that too. So it kind of, you have a little bit at least that spectrum there. But again, this and this would be our most likely best translation for us English-speaking folks. So, but anyway, unfaithful to him for, you know, again, he might have been abusing her, might have been other things. So she runs home to her parents. And so, again, we kind of, even though I'm late, we have hit some of this stuff. So kindly to her, to bring her back. And then the problem, and the real thing is we do this comparisons, right? Is we look at the hospitality of the father. Mm-hmm. Now, we live in different times, but if you had somebody coming 50 miles, you would expect them to stay for 3 days. That you aren't showing good hospitality if you don't show hospitality for 3 days. If they leave before 3 days, you've done a poor job or they're a little bit rude. Okay? So he does stay the 3 days, but the father likes the guy, it appears. And so, you know, he says, you know, on the, I missed a sign, I thought I had a fourth day. 3 days. So, again, he got up early to try to leave. So on the fifth day, arises early. The father-in-law, or the father of the concubine says, strengthen your heart, getting home without a breakfast. It's like my mom, if you come by her house, you don't have to stay for 3 days, but if you stay at her house and you leave without eating breakfast, it's almost a sin. It's just the way she was raised, that level of hospitality. So it says, you're too weak to leave out this morning. And they didn't have microwaves back then. So, you know, says, you know, stay and all that. And so then the day is waning towards evening. You know, spend it. The day's waning. It's coming to an end. We've ate. You know, be merry. Tomorrow you can leave. So the guy says, I've been here long enough. I want to get home. So, I got the slides mixed up there, don't I? That's the reason I got thrown off. So the man wouldn't spend the night. So he rose up, departed, and arrived at Jebus. So that's before it's been taken, right, by David, because we're way back at the beginning of Judges. And so the servant says, there's Jebus. Let's stay there. And so again, the Levite, you say, okay, I got problems with the guy. But what did he say then? What is his opinion of staying at Jebus? No! Foreigners. We're not going to stay there. We're not going to stay with foreigners. We're Israelites. We're going to stay with our own people. And so that's about 5 miles from Bethlehem to Jerusalem, and that's as the crow flies, which, if you've been over there, crows fly a lot faster or a lot straighter than the road. So if you're on your best donkey, 10 to 20 miles a day, they've gone about 5 miles. So that's 2 to 4 hours. So again, the day is kind of waning when they leave. So they're in trouble. Or kind of it's the time when they would pinch tents normally. And so, you know, we're not going to stay in this foreigner's town. And so they come to Gibeah. Gibeah, hometown of Saul. So all these, this crime occurs where Saul is from, and I, you know, it just, studying the Bible is always good. Had you ever really thought, I'm sure some of y'all had, that when you get to Saul and you talk about Jabesh Gilead, whoever thinks back to this event? You know, when Saul goes up to Jabesh, that's relatives, his, you know, his folks, you know.
Well, you kind of did you an oath in the favor, for sure.
Yes.
I mean, you look at it that way.
Yeah.
So not too many years later.
No.
No one was helping me, so.
So yeah, so there was a debt there that was when Saul went up there. So there's that connection there. So so they come to the city, they come to the gate, and again the hospitality of the concubine's father is so good. He does this 3 days, gets a fourth day, and goes for really gets a fifth day of hospitality. So. They come to the city, no hotels. I didn't have hotels then. What you did, you come into the square, get the gate, you say, and then somebody's supposed to come up and say, are you a stranger in town? You say, I sure am.
and they say, come to my home. So they have come, a little bit on the late side. You know, everyone's already got their food cooked, kind of feeding the family. But this old man, so you know, when he comes, an old man, and he's not even from the city, is he?
Yeah.
He's from Ephraim. He's from that hill country of Ephraim. So, not from that city, and says, you know, what are y'all doing here? And then, you know, even then, the Levite says, I've got plenty of food, you know, just as you can't leave my mom's house without a cooler full of food. The man couldn't leave the front of his father's house without a donkey full of food. So he's got the food. There's nothing lacking there. And so the guy says, come in. And so, again, they're making merry, which kind of a little bit of concern there. You kind of have questions there. So with the men, they pull a Sodom and Gomorrah on them, right? Say, bring the guy out. And, you know, the guy says, don't do this. This is a great wrong. And says, you know, I've got my daughter. There's the concubine. And the concubine that goes, and she dies. And again, I mean, it's just, you know, the wrong that was done by the Gibeonites. Yes. But again, you've got this Levite just, get up. And the woman's dead.
Harsh times. Alright, so we're at least making a Romans. Good. We got to do that, right?
So, no king in Israel. Yeah, the Levite took that. So we've done the whole story there. So, you know, kind of just Romans is laying out the loss, the sin, giving themselves over. Just, and it wasn't new in the day of the judges. This wasn't new in the days of Paul. And it's not new today what goes on. So the lust of their hearts, the impurity, dishonoring their bodies amongst themselves. And then the women exchanged in the national relationships. The men likewise. And they gave themselves up to the base mind to do what ought not to be done. And again, you know, you go look at the case of like Gideon, you know, the men say, Gideon destroyed Baal. He's going to die. So the things that are wrong, they say are right. And the things that are right, they say are wrong. And so, again, nothing new under the sun. So, it just, again, a good connection there to what we read, and James, what, was that lesson 3 or 4? I don't know. Early on in the class, I said, hold on a second, we got Romans involved here. So we're a little slower, so we finally got there. Any kind of comments or extra thoughts on that? Because if we don't get any further, this is a good point.
I was thinking about without natural affection, that's further than...
Oh, yeah.
I was just thinking about the father that just offered his daughter. I just think, you know, kid... And just, you know, father with a daughter, just the idea that you would just take your daughter and throw her out there like a piece of meat to some wolves, it's just, what's going on?
Yeah.
You know, that's, you know, where's your heart and your mind and all the, in some kind of way you think that's okay with God?
Yeah.
But that was the status of him.
Yeah. It was.
Yeah. Yeah.
But.
And Jesus changed all of that when he came in.
He did. Yeah. He did. And, but, I mean, even if you look at the covenant, it wouldn't have gone to this point, right? This was not, I mean, you know. Oh, yeah.
Well, I don't understand why, looking at the law, why they would have Jewish women talking about marriage. I mean, that's what I'm
understanding. Another very good point. Shouldn't have even been, right?
Yeah.
No.
They were looking for the Christ to come. I mean...
Yeah, but they weren't. They were all tied up, and that was like, you know, it's like you look at Jephthah, what, you know, 7 foreign gods there they were focused in. And again, they were round about, like the nations round about them, that corruption there. And so that's our challenge, right? To not be like those round about us. And it's hard. It influences. Even when we try not to, we get influenced. Alright, so the tribes get called. We got the 12 body parts going over, and all the tribes from Dan to Beersheba show up at Mizpah. So, doing a little bit of searching, electronic searching, whatever, this is the first time that's mentioned. The Dan to Beersheba. And then, actually, most of them are in Samuel. I mean, that's where really most of it is. So we kind of, we look and say, well, Samuel wrote Samuel, you know, at least got it started, or, you know, and so that puts, you know, when we say Samuel's involved with Judges there, makes that kind of connection there. So all of them come and says, what is this great sin, this evil, that evil that's been done? And so they say, hey, we're going to destroy them. We're going to make this vow. We're not going to give them wives. So they rose up. And they talk to God, or they ask God, right? This is kind of probably where the human Thuman kind of comes in. And so, you know, who's to go up first? Judah is. So, you know, so they've inquired.
God punished both sides.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Because if you look at it, more Israelites are killed than all Israelites.
Yes. So now, and it, you know, part of the attitude, and when, you know, you ask, okay, you think, okay, the Lord's position, the people who are coming, you know, to take care of this evil, and the 22,000 and then the 18,000, what do they do when the Lord finally says, they're yours? I mean, that, as you're going through that lesson, you ask, okay, what do they have to do? And so, you know, here they just says, who goes? And then they said, you know, should we go up and fight again? But look what they do the third time.
Strategy.
Huh?
They use some strategy.
Ah. Well, yes, they do use strategy. But before they do the ambushing.
They sacrifice.
Yeah, they
God. At least respectful.
Yes. The whole army, everybody goes up to Bethel and wept. And they sat there before the Lord and fasted that day until evening and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. That's not mentioned before, is it? So there's a different kind of attitude there. So, you know, you say, okay, when do they finally? And then they finally decide to use some strategy too. And our man Joshua, right? This was his strategy. You know, you look like you're getting beat. Flee, pull away from the city, and then the guys waiting in ambush come in and burn the city. And so, as a result, Benjamin is destroyed. Some 25,000 that drew the sword. 600 of them flee to this rock of Reman. But they don't stop there, do they? Not with just fighting, killing the men of the valor. They go then, that's Gibeon, right, where that's occurring. They then go to all the other cities of Benjamin and just destroy them. Wipe out the Benjamites. So all the towns they found are set to fire. And so that is sort of where, looks a little bit like the hill countries of Ephraim. But anyway, that's kind of the nature of the land there. You're still in that area. So anyway, that rock of Rima, that's at least the city of Rima. So somewhere around there, they hid for 4 months, let everything cool off. And then everyone feels kind of bad. And so, done pretty well. This is about the last slide. So, can we put this in order?
Yeah.
All right, what came first? Concubine. All right. That's the challenge when there are all sorts of orders. You know what occurred first is actually just finding it, right? So the concubine's unfaithful to the Levite. Yep, servants. They go to bring her back. Treat her kindly and bring her back. late departure after 5 days.
Refuse to stay with Jesus.
Right.
Stays in Gibeah.
Huh?
Stays in Gibeah.
Yep, stays in Gibeah.
Crying
that night.
He likes his bed.
12.
So now how many gather up?
400,000.
Benjamin's first day wipes out how many? Second day, or second time? 18,000. They go, Bethel, pray, sacrifice, and how many Benjamites are slain? 25,000. Smash the watch. So I think. Oh, absolutely.
So the interesting thing to me about the whole tribe of Benjamin is that we're after, and Saul ended up coming through. Saul became all of us anyway, so that we deserve that.
Yes. And that was, and again, you know, it's sort of like, yeah, they're all God's people, and here, you know, yes, the city of Gibeah needs to be destroyed, right, for the punishment. I mean, they deserve that. But, you know, why destroy all of Benjamin? Well, part of it, at least in the mindset of these folks, was they come to the Benjamites, right? And what do they ask for the Benjamites to do?
Give us the men. Yeah.
Yeah, give us the men. You know, not even, okay, guys, this crime has occurred. You got to go up and burn Gibeah down and kill everybody in there. That's not what they ask for, right? They just say, give us the men. You know, give us those men that did this. And the Benjamites, again, that kind of tribal mentality, right? No. And so, at that point, I mean, okay, if they look at the crime that had been committed, they should have been just as shocked as everybody else. And they should have been, you know, yes, yeah. And so, but they're not, right? And so it's just crime upon crime upon crime. And it all is due to what? Sin. But the sin's occurring because got in their own eyes.
Which I think people have pointed out. That didn't mean they had no values. They had the values that kind of made sense. So,
yeah.
And some you might even agree with. And,
And that's that lesson I think we brought out, like with Samson. That, you know, okay, had a Nazarite vow, unclean bodies, well, sort of Josh to kill Philistines, so he kind of says that one. You know, hanging out in vineyards, at least kind of, I mean, I don't know whether he's just walking by or whether he's walking through the vineyard. But, I mean, and then, you know, the thing that really strikes me when you read the Nazarite vow is how many times that word is separate yourself, right? Well, what did he want to do? He wanted to go with those four women. You know? Four women? She's for me. Get her. I want her. I saw her. I like that. And so, just totally opposite. Oh, but I do have long hair like a Nazarite's supposed to. Mm-hmm. And so again, so that picking and choosing, right?
So I meant to put down the perfect lesson, and I forgot, but I think it starts in chapter 1 with the fingers and toes, the thumbs and toes.
Yeah.
I remember that, I think I mentioned that. Where did that come from? I don't know what they were supposed to do, but it makes sense. Right? I mean, you get vengeance, you show the power. This guy had done it to lots of other people before. It kind of has some, it seemed like a minor detail, but I think it just starts the whole pattern that there's going to be crazy behavior. This is not approved apostolic example.
Yeah, oh yeah. And you get to Micah, you know? Well, I'm a thief. Okay, my mom does a really harsh curse, and I don't want that happening to me, so
you know, I'll give the money back. And then, you know, the mother saying, I'm going to dedicate it to the Lord, but I'm going to do it by making idols. So he has an ephod, gets a nice little worship place there, and makes one of his sons priest. And then, yo, here's a real Levite. The Lord is really going to be pleased with me because I have the right kind of priest. It just, he knew better.
So one other little historical idea, maybe it's not right. I think it, you would, mostly you could be really missionary in a culture like that, where just people just do what they're able to do, and twisted values. And I think about some of the countries where, you know, drug lords rule or tribal elders, there's really no value system, just whoever's in power. It's pretty corrupt, everything's corrupt. But I think what happens is you desire some kind of power to straighten things out and put your order. And you'll take a dictator long before you let that anarchy go ahead. And so I think the desire for a king may have grown out of that. You look there in 1 Samuel, the Philistines just started really getting.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, they stole something, got the Ark of the Covenant, and all like that. I think that national crisis may be made in the world. So we got this anarchy, this leaderlessness, we don't know what to do. And I think that is quite typical in the culture, that anarchy eventually results in some kind of dictator being set. And of course you chop the head off, like we maybe have done in the Middle East, of some of the dictators, then it really goes back to the anarchy.
And I guess I'm just,
I think
that's the fallen state. Yeah. And that's bizarre. And I guess what I was just thinking is you go even to like the persecution of the early church fathers. They kill those elders, they kill those leaders, and then you say, okay, how are we going to bring some order to this chaos? How are we going to do that? And then you start building, centralizing the church.
I think so.